This podcast is certified fresh. Freshmediaworks.com.
This is Chevy Chase. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. Let's get them out of here. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Welcome to the Mikey Pod on the Bayou Show.
Yeehaw!
That's not what this show's about.
It ain't?
No. Here, watch this. Welcome to Mikey Pod on the Bayou. Texas, it's not just for cow-tipping rednecks.
Hello, welcome to episode 60 of Mikey Pod on the Bayou. Today is August 8th, 2006. I'm your host, Michael Herron, who you can reach at MikeyPod@gmail.com. MikeyPod.com is the website, and you can also call 206-339-6682. For those of you who are new listening, I am podcasting from Houston. I'm moving to Georgia in less than a month for 3 months when I will live at Koinonia, which is, you can find out about it at koinoniapartners.org. It's like a farming commune, basically. And I'll be there for 3 months, and then I move to New York City, where I will live with my sister until I find a job. So there it is, all in a nutshell. I feel like keeping it really concise today for the beginning of the show, because I have an interview with Rebecca Ney. Interview seems like the wrong word sometimes. It was more of a conversation. And she is the host of Tranny Rec Radio, which can be found at trannyrec.com. She is a transgender trans woman, as I learned was the correct term, or at least her correct term. So she is someone who has gone through the transition from being a man to being a woman, and she's going to be official soon. Although, well, you'll hear more about all the different sort of ins and outs of all of that stuff. It's fascinating to me, and hopefully it will be to you. And even though I am a gay man, I have not really had opportunity to have this discussion with anyone until really I met her. So I thought it'd be great to have her on the show so you could learn too. Yes. Please also visit AfterDowningStreet.org, which I will do myself. I'm going to do some more reading. And I found another impeachment website. We've got to get moving on this, people. Is it just me? Anyway, here's my discussion with Ms. Tranny Rec, Rebecca Ney. I'm here with Rebecca Ney from the Tranny Rec podcast. And hi, welcome to the show.
Hello, Michael, and all you Mikey Pod on the Bayou listeners.
Ooh, ooh. We were just talking about what we were going to talk about on the show, and it started to feel like it was already going to be interesting, so I decided that we would just start recording.
Oh, whatever. You wanted to have cyber sex with me. That's why I thought we were talking tonight.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so disappointed. I guess I'll talk on your goddamn podcast.
Remember, what? I told you that if you did the podcast, then we can do the cyber sex.
Oh, good, good.
Okay.
So now that tells you how desperate I am. Oh.
Oh, that's real nice. I appreciate that.
You know I love you.
And I love you. So you are what is the correct word? This is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is that
whore?
It's always one of these. Well, whore, that one, pepper. That goes without saying. Uh-huh. Transgendered. Like all the language and stuff I get stuck on. So transgendered is a word really for just anyone who kind of gender fucks.
Yeah. I mean, in layman's terms, that's a good way to describe it. Transgender, I see it as an umbrella term for just about, yeah, anybody that gender fucks or fucks people with a gender. No, basically anybody whose gender kind of goes outside of the binary, in my opinion.
Okay.
Whether it's a switch from one to the other completely, as in, you know, which is entailed with transsexualism, which may or may not involve surgery, I have to add. It's a matter of how you identify internally and how you live. That would be what I would consider a transsexual, And then you have cross-dressers, it's all about, and transvestites, where it's usually all about the clothing.
But would you consider those transgendered people as well?
Yeah. All under the transgender umbrella. You know, just like transsexuals, just kind of a subset of it. You got cross-dressers, it's all about the clothing. Transvestites, usually there's a sexual element there, to where there's a fetish. It's kind of a fetish, but you know, and keep in mind that there goes my voice. These are all oversimplistic explanations, definitions. Then there's drag queens, you know, like Wanda Wisdom,
drag queen.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, you know, and most people, interesting enough, probably don't think of drag queens as being trans, which is, you know, but, you know, I kind of do. So, you know, but, you know, given that particular definition of transgender, I would think that drag queens would fall under that. But I think, you know, if, like on my show, I use transgender or trans pretty interchangeably. Most of the time it's referring to transsexual people.
Okay.
But does that confuse the fuck out of you and your listeners yet?
Well, actually that sort of straightens it out. Cause in my mind I thought that transgendered, transgendered was just another way of saying transsexual, but it's not. It really is. All encompassing in any
Situation. Well, it can be another. I just like to say trans for people because, you know, especially when I meet people within the trans community, you know, it's just an easy way of saying it. Like, I consider myself to be a trans woman, you know, male to female, you know, whereas female to males are usually considered trans guys. So,
okay.
You know, and my big thing on the whole trans issue is gender, and this is something that I'm going to harp on till the day I die, and maybe society probably still won't get it. Gender is not defined by what's in between your legs. I believe it's defined by what's in between your ears. It's kind of a tired cliche on my show, but I honestly believe that. I'm getting ready to have my sexual reassignment surgery in November. I don't think that's going to make me, which I'm very excited about, yes. I'd probably sound more excited if I didn't have a bunch of shit going on in my personal life right now, but...
will you please bring on the excitement?
Exactly. I am having my sex reassignment surgery. Once I have that surgery, I'm not going to feel more of a woman than I am now. Because I honestly feel, looking back, that I've always been a woman that just happens to have male anatomy. Mm-hmm. And was raised as a male because of that anatomy. That's the way I look at it. I look at myself as a woman that was raised as a male because of my anatomy. And, you know, against my will, so to speak. Yeah. So, you know, and that's, you know, the fact that I was raised and cultured as a male is a part of who I am, too, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it really does. Like, one of my questions, though, and I think I'm asking this on behalf of listeners more than myself, is if it wouldn't make you feel like more of a woman, why have the surgery?
For me, it is for practical reasons, to be honest with you. One of the reasons I was very confused about my... I guess you could say transgender or transsexual status earlier on, because I thought that transsexualism was all about the surgery, that one truly wasn't transsexual unless they wanted the surgery. And I didn't really desire the surgery until I started living as a woman. 4 years ago, once I went full-time, that's kind of the lingo for when one makes the social transition on a consistent basis, starts living in the other gender, it's considered going full time. Okay. Once I went full time, it just became having that thing in between my legs, which I didn't refer to it so in such a with such alien terms back then.
That thing.
For me, it just became more and more of an inconvenience to have a penis. Mm-hmm. And I had my testicles removed about a year after I went full time, and I did that to get rid of the testosterone in my body, and make the estrogen that I was on, just the hormone treatments, go a little bit more smooth. Mm-hmm. It leveled me out emotionally and big time. But that also did a number on my sexual drive too. Like, I'm still a sexual person emotionally, and physically I still have some level of performance down there, but it's nothing like it was before the orchiectomy, which is the medical term for castration.
Okay.
So, but ever since that procedure, I've really wanted to just get it finished and go all the way. So for me, the surgery is about having a healthy sexual life, a healthy sex life.
Okay.
If I want to put on a bathing suit, I don't have to worry about concealing the lump in between my legs. Mm-hmm. Shit like that. It's just going to make my life easier. If I want to go to a gym and, that's far away from my house and I need to change in the women's changing room, I don't have to worry about that.
Right.
So it's just for me getting the surgery, it's all practical. And it has nothing to do with my gender. I mean, I won't say it has nothing to do with my gender identity. I'd probably be lying if that was the case, because I'm sure emotionally it is going to be a big deal, because it will signify the completion of a journey that I've been on once I do get the surgery. So I can't sit here and say it's meaningless and all practical, because it will be the completion of a journey, but I still don't. But I still see myself, for the most part, as a woman now. Just as much of a woman as anybody else. I'm just a different kind of woman. It's just like trans men, who most trans men will never get the surgery, the bottom surgery, because the technology just doesn't give very good results. Trans men who have a vagina, I don't consider them to be any less of a man than a natal male who was, born with a penis. So, does that make any sense?
No, it really does. And that, I think the reason I wanted to have you on the show is because all that makes sense, because I listened to your show. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say right before we started recording that I got the idea to talk to you on the show because I feel like I have a fairly mixed audience, mm-hmm. like both gay and straight, and there are a lot of people who have no idea what it's all about to be mm-hmm. transsexual mm-hmm. or a trans woman or trans, or like any of that goes on to it. And because of I had the luxury of talking to you and listening to your show, there was someone that I work with recently who confided in me that she's a trans woman. Mm-hmm. And because of your show, you changed my life. But really, this is valuable information for people to have, because I think it's truly interesting, and people need to be exposed to different types of people.
Well, like I said, the things that I'm telling you, are simply my views, and I also want to say this: they're my views and my opinions and observations of the transgender community. There are a lot of trans, there are probably a lot of trans women out there that where the surgery is a much bigger deal and a much bigger part of their identity. In my personal opinion, I think they're subscribing to, you know, if their gender is all about the surgery, I think they're subscribing to society's gender binary, you know, limited gender binary view of males have penises and women have vaginas, and it's just not that simple. You know, you gotta see outside the box. You know, there's so much more to a person, person's gender than their anatomy, and you know, and if you really stop to think about it, you know, for a minute, it makes sense. So you know, it just, I guess you could say, irritates me to no end when, you know, like for Trans America, I did a show where I talked about the movie critics who were reviewing Trans America and how they would sit there and say, Brie was a male before her surgery and then she became a woman. It's like, you know, fuck you. It's not like, you know, I woke up one day and was a male, went and got a surgery, and the next day I'm a woman. Shit. It's like it's a long fucking process, you know, and yeah, for me, for somebody to say that I'm not a woman discounts everything that I've gone through over the past 4 years to get to where I'm at today. And it, you know, and it's just a very narrow-minded view, in my opinion. And I hate to say this, it's a view that's very common within the GLB community. Mm-hmm. I won't say T in this case.
Because they're pretty much tuned into it.
The T has got that figured out for the most part. It's a view that's very popular in the gay community and the, you know, the mainstream community, that gender is all about genitals.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think that it's easy to have that perspective. Like,
well, it's because we have for like hundreds of years.
Yeah, and we don't have the experience of knowing what it's like to, you know, because it wasn't until I started, you know, listening to you and talking to you and developing a friendship with you that I started to realize that what you're saying, you know what I mean? Because I had always had this sort of limited perspective about things. Maybe it's more about ignorance. Well, I mean, obviously it's more about ignorance than it is about any sort of judgment, I guess. I mean, the judgment comes after that.
Yeah, it really depends. There's a lot of bias against us, and a lot of phobia and hatred out there. I would say when it comes to the gay community, there's more ignorance than there is phobia or hatred. Mm-hmm. But when you get outside of the gay community, you know, we're lumped all together. Trans people are often the face of the LGBT community, you know, because a gay man and a lesbian woman, for the most part, it's not on your sleeves, you know, unless you choose. You're not advertising it, so to speak, you know, even for a lack of a better word, even though I hate that word, but with a lot of trans people, especially when we're like right in the middle of our transition and we don't pass, you know, we get the most shit. Those of us that are right in the middle. And even within the trans community, there are people in the trans community that think that you should go all the way, one way or the other, and don't stop in the middle, you know. You know, and that's fucked up too, because there are definitely people out there who consider themselves to be neither male or female and just consider themselves to be genderqueer. And until we get past this gender binary, it's people right in the middle are the ones that are getting the most grief in our society. I mean, I'm sure you, within your lifetime, you've ran into, and you and your listeners, I'm sure, have ran into numerous situations where you've been around, with either you've participated in, or you've been around people who are making fun of somebody because of their gender expression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens so often. And, it's directed at the trans community. So
I had a debate with somebody fairly recently, and the first time I ever heard this sort of philosophy was when I was a sprightly young homo, like right when I was coming out. I used to listen to this show on KPFT. Uh-huh. It's our local Pacifica station in Houston, called After Hours. And this guy on the show, Jimmy Carper, uh-huh, I think he still does this show. This many years later, like, oh God, more years than I care to mention, like 17, 18 years ago, I heard him first. He talked about how he wished that all gay people were pink or a different color, so mm-hmm, that no one could be hidden. No one could pretend to be straight. And that, uh-huh, and because part of what keeps us from gaining, you know, rights,
uh-huh,
is that we're not visible. So like, with what you just said about being transgendered, transsexual, like trans, that you, and now I see why you just say trans.
It's so much easier. And I'm a lazy whore, so.
Yeah, I'm there too. But like with that in mind, what are your thoughts about that? Like, do you feel like it's, in some ways it's a positive thing that it's harder to pass as a trans person?
I'll tell you what, that is a big issue within the trans community. What they call that in the trans community is going stealth, where a trans person, either trans guy or trans girl, gets to a point to where they can just blend into society. And you know, a lot of trans people can do that successfully, you know, especially trans men, to where the testosterone just makes so many changes to your body, that for a trans man, the biggest obstacle for trans men is for those who have large chests, and then once they get the I can't remember what the medical term is for boob removal.
I think that's the word they should use.
The boob removal. So there you go. Once trans men get their boobs removed, or downgraded, whatever, you know, and they've been on testosterone for 2 or 3 years, you'd never know, just because it changes their voice. You know, it changes their outward appearance completely, which is why, in my theory, I think trans men tend to be invisible, even within the trans community, because I think it's so tempting, and it's so tempting once you pass just to blend in, that a lot of trans people, I think, do it, mm-hmm, you know, and the younger, as far as trans women go, the ones that transition at a very early age, they are more likely to blend in and go stealth. And that hurts our community. You know, for people like me who are 6'1", and, you know, 6'1½" technically, and, you know, have had testosterone do quite a number on their body. You know, I mean, I can pass depending on what, when I say you, I mean you and your listeners, I can pass depending on what your perception of what a woman is supposed to look like is. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, for me, it's just a matter of, it hurts our community when people go stealth. And I think it's becoming more, just as staying in the closet is unpopular in the gay community, going stealth is becoming unpopular in the trans community because it doesn't help our cause. And the ones that can pass and could go stealth, those are the ones our community needs the most, because unfortunately they're the ones that are going to get listened to by the mainstream community. Because let's face it, it's human nature to identify with those who you can relate to the most.
Right.
And if this person over here looks like me, I'm more likely to listen to them and hear what they have to say, rather than if they look so different, it makes me uncomfortable. So, and that's just, right or wrong, I believe that's just human nature.
Yeah.
And you know, the resilient people are those who recognize that and do something about it.
And instead of trying to fight it and
feel yeah. Like... Well, yeah, it's just people who are different scare us. Look at what's going on in the world right now, you know, with this whole fucking war on terror, you know, the terrorists hate our freedom, you know, and people who are not white are being stereotyped as terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, what trans people are going through when you really strip it down to the basics, it's no different than what people of color are going through, people of different religions are going through, or sexual orientation. We are just so fucking scared of people that are different from us that we have to act all retarded and bigoted.
Yeah.
Nothing against retards, but
my friends are retards. I agree with you, and the thing about all that frustrates me even more is that while all of us in our different groups are being, you know, repressed or oppressed or whatever kind of pressed you want to say, that we
do it to others.
Yeah, we don't have the sense to sort of like realize that as long as one group of people is being oppressed, it's gonna, I mean, it perpetuates all of us.
And I'm just gonna say this right now. I've been fairly open about this on my show. When it comes to issues of race, I believe that each and every one of us has racist thoughts and feelings, and each and every one of us is at least a little bit racist, some of us more than others. My race issues are right now, or ever since my transition, my race issues have been with the African American community. And the reason I say that is because if you talk to any, you know, African American who is honest, they're going to tell you, they're going to fully admit how homophobic the black community is. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I'm not saying every African American or every black person is homophobic. I'm talking about the homophobia that exists within the community. And it's mainly coming from religion, I believe. And, you know, and I say this based not only on my experiences, because a lot of very scary experiences I've had have been dealing with young black men, but talking with gay black people and trans black people who have just been treated like shit by their own community. So, you know, that just pisses me off more than anything. I don't understand how a community that has been oppressed can turn around and oppress others. I think it's one of the reasons why this Israeli conflict, the situation going on in Israel just has me so pissed off. because here's Israel, a country full of people that have a history of being oppressed, and they're turning around and doing it. Now that they've become the oppressor, there just seems to be, what is it about the oppressed becoming the oppressor? It happens time and time again in human history. I don't get it.
I think that part of it, like for me, like when I address my own like internalized homophobia, I hate saying that because it's such a little catchphrase, but it fits. Like any of that, and I think any of like the way that the gay community looks down on drag queens or on trans people is that, well, they're oppressed, but then, oh, look, here's someone that's in our group but isn't really. So this is someone that I can oppress and feel superior to.
Well, and the trans community is several years behind the gay community just in stature and status. And, you know, it's less popular to make gay jokes than it is to make, you know, jokes about trans people.
Right.
Of course, most jokes about trans people inevitably are gay jokes because there are a lot of people that can't tell the difference. And I think that makes a lot of gay people uncomfortable. The fact that trans people are lumped together with the trans community. So,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's kind of, you know, my whole little spill, I guess you could say.
I appreciate the fact that you're able to speak your racist thoughts. I mean, if I wouldn't even really call those racist thoughts, but you know, like I think we really get into trouble when we have those thoughts and then don't say anything about them, and we don't have a chance to heal what we're. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, inevitably these comments are going to piss somebody off, but you know, that's fine. You know, if somebody is upset by what I'm saying, I think they're in denial, because you know, the issues that I address regarding race is I can't, just because I've experienced homophobia coming from the black community, I can't internalize that and be uncomfortable and judge every black person that I see as a homophobe.
Right.
And if somebody is going to judge me for being open about that, they need to take a look at themselves and see if they're doing the same thing towards somebody else that's different. If you're really honest with yourself, you're going to realize that you're doing the same thing with somebody of a different group. Yeah. You know, whether you're making, we're always making assumptions about people of different groups. And you know, like I said, when it comes to racism, I you know, that's how I confront racism, is being honest about my own race issues.
Right.
You know, and the more honest and the more open I am about it, the more I'm able to deal with, especially when the dialogue is created, when I have this dialogue with other African Americans, or with African Americans, and it's such a bonding experience, because then, you know, you start to realize that, hell, you know, for those of us that are not straight white men, we're really all in this all together.
Yeah, that's the damn truth.
Because women are still oppressed. The glass ceiling still exists in corporate America. Really, to be honest with you, the only people that shouldn't, that are going to have difficulty relating to me and what I'm saying to you today is straight white men. Everyone else, you know, probably can relate to at least one thing I'm saying in one way or another.
Right.
So, so with that in mind, go fuck yourself. No.
There you go.
For some reason, that's become one of my cliche sayings on my show. And it kind of happened by accident, but everybody likes it when I say, go fuck yourself. I don't know why.
Say it again.
No.
Okay, well, you go fuck yourself then. How about that?
Oh, yeah, baby.
I want to go back to a while back you said, you mentioned 4 years. Is that how long you've been living as a woman?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
is that the right way to say that?
I am so offended. That's an accurate characterization. I mean, that's when I came to the realization before that, but it's one thing to realize it, and it's another to, you know, get the courage to do something about it.
Right.
So, it was my second coming out, so to speak.
Right. So, did you what kind of reactions did you get from your family? I mean, have they been supportive or not?
Well, my situation is kind of complicated because I came out as a gay male first before I came out as a trans woman.
Okay.
And which is very unusual, because most trans women lesbian identify after they transition.
Really?
In other words, most are attracted to other women. And for me, you know, what's interesting is before my transition, I was primarily attracted to males. So I basically dealt with my issues of sexual orientation first. Because, you know, I grew up Mormon, and
wow,
yeah. So, and that was the hardest part, was getting over the Mormon issues. I really believed, you know, that the Mormon Church was, and for those of you that are your listeners that either are Mormon or come from a Mormon background, they'll totally understand this. I believe that the Mormon Church was the only true church on the face of the planet.
Nice.
That's what they teach you to believe. But I had a testimony, is what they call it, to where I prayed on it, and I believed that God had given me the truth of the fulfilled gospel, yada, yada, yada. What it boiled down to is that I had immersed myself in what I believe is a cult, because in Mormon society, you don't question the leadership, whether it's the local leadership or the leadership in Salt Lake, especially the ones in Salt Lake. They're prophets of God, and whatever they say goes, and you don't question it. If you do, you're a bad Mormon. You're apostate, and you're going to be shunned by a lot of people in Mormon society. And that was really hard for me to get over. And that's why I call it a cult, because, you know, the intellectual side of it is frowned upon. You know, BYU has excommunicated so many history professors for trying to reveal the Mormon Church's true history rather than the one that they portray. So, no, it was a very difficult society to, I guess you could say, wane myself from, and a belief system, you know, to wean myself from. Is that the right word? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
But once I was able to do that, I was able to accept whatever sexual orientation I had, which at the time I thought was a homosexual orientation, because I honestly thought, and you might laugh or be horrified by this, but growing up in rural Utah, I thought that all gay men wanted to be women. So, wow. you know, and that's a fairly popular stereotype in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, and I bought into that. So that's why I was confused, because I was sexually attracted to men and I wanted to be a woman. And to me, I thought that was just gay and nothing else. I didn't realize that I wasn't gay until I came out and I immersed myself in the gay community. And I was around all of these gay men that adored, that idolized masculinity, mm-hmm. their own masculinity, and I was abhorred by mine.
Oh, this is interesting. Yeah.
So that's how I knew, wait a minute, I guess I'm not really a gay male, so to speak, because I've got some different, because I don't want to be a guy at all. Because
I got this thing between my legs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, see, and like I said, it's in with gay men, it's all about the penis.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is.
So, you know, and that's when, you know, I started to move from my first coming out, which dealt with sexual orientation and religion, to the second coming out, which was gender. And as far as acceptance goes, the first coming out was a lot more difficult just because of the religion.
Right. So you came out to both parents?
Yeah. When I came out as gay, that's right. That's where I came, because you asked about the parents. When I came out as gay, they weren't happy with it, but they went along with it because I, for about 8 months, had tried to change myself through going to the Mormon version of an ex-gay ministry.
Nice.
So by the time I'd given up on that, they had realized that the sexual orientation was not something I chose. So even
That's
though they
huge,
you know,
I mean, for them to be able to come to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think by just witnessing what I was going through, it was just impossible to, you can't deny somebody else's, another person's experience, especially if, you know, you're witnessing it firsthand. You just can't deny those things. You know, what a person experiences, that is a truth in and of itself. And so, The gay thing made them uncomfortable, and the trans thing, that I pretty much had no contact with my parents for about 3 years after that. So I after I moved to Portland, I pretty much, you know, yeah, my family was, I had no contact with pretty much my entire family until about a year ago. So that was hard. That was very hard. But, you know, a lot's happened in the past year, for good or bad. Mm-hmm. My mom passed away a week before Thanksgiving last year. And prior to her passing, she was just starting to come around.
Okay.
But with her passing and me going to Utah for her funeral, where a lot of people in my family saw me for the first time since my transition. Mm-hmm. It was a very, it was an experience that, it was a growing experience on everybody, because the issues that people had with me became insignificant, considering the, you know, we'd all just lost somebody close to us.
Right.
You know, and which, you know, people realize that life's too short to get your panties in a knot about, you know, shit like this.
Right.
You know, and I just long for a day that being gay or trans or black or Arab or Jewish are no big fucking deal. You know, that's what we need to fight for, is just, you know, we just need to continue to push for a society that being different is no big deal.
Yeah. Well, we can do it. Through podcasting.
But this is a wonderful medium. It's one of the reasons I'm doing my show. For those of you that are interested, the name of my show is Tranny Rec Radio. You can find me by going to trannyrec.com. I don't consider my show to be a show about trans issues. While I do talk a lot about it on there, I consider my show to be a show done by a trans woman who cares a lot about trans issues. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, you're really doing a show about your experience, right?
My experience and my views, and you know, sometimes I'll do an entire show and not even really talk about trans issues. Which is, considering the state of the world right now, that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, so just like your show, you're very open about being a gay male, but this show is not about being gay, you know.
Yeah.
It's mine's kind of misleading because it's called Tranny Rec Radio, which I just chose that name because I like it.
Yeah, well, I think the title really, like, it shoots down any ideas of pretense right off the bat.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, and I like making people laugh. Laughter is something that's necessary in our society. And, I don't do my show with the intention of trying to be funny, because whenever I try to be funny, I fail miserably.
I know the feeling.
You know, it just has to happen.
And then when you're not trying at all, you're like, what? What? What is so funny?
I know it. Exactly. Everybody's fucking cracking up because I'm just sitting here talking and being me. It's like, oh, you're so funny. I'm like, whatever.
So we covered where to find you. And yeah.
God, we've covered everything.
Yeah, we have. Thanks for coming on the show. I think that this has been just perfect.
Perfect, not too long. Hopefully I didn't put your listeners to sleep.
That's okay. They have fast forward buttons if they need
to. Exactly. That's the great thing about podcasting.
We should end with a song. What's your favorite PodSafe song right now?
Oh, shit. God, you asshole. I have to put me on the spot, don't you?
That's okay.
How about this? Because one doesn't come to mind. I'll think about that for a few minutes after we're done recording, and I'll let you know, so you can just go ahead and put it in post.
Okay. I love it. We'll put it in post-production.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Rebecca.
And well, thank you for having me, Michael, and we're going to be tranny-wrecking you pretty soon.
Oh, that would be beautiful. I'll tell you all about my upcoming hippie existence.
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, I hope.
Well, and if you're getting anally raped by the Christian missionaries, then we'll know that too, right?
Yeah. Damn,
he's like,
right.
I hope.
I'll
he's like, I hope so.
Well, all right.
Mikey porn on the bayou.
Yeah, there we go. I'm trying to think of whether I need to change the name of my show when I leave Houston, because I won't be in the bayou city anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So give it some thought.
Well, Mikey, the Mikey Pod is, pretty is adequate. I mean, your website is mikeypod.com, isn't it?
Yeah, so MikeyPod will be fine, won't it?
I think so, yeah.
So far, that's been pretty much everyone's idea.
Everyone's consensus.
Consensus?
Yes. to use one of Madge Weinstein's favorite words.
Always love an opportunity for that.
Absolutely.
Well, okay. Well, let's wrap it up.
Let's put a condom on it.
And yeah, I'm trying to think of something funny to say. Damn it.
Damn it. Don't try to be funny because it... No. You'll think of something in post. Just put it in.
And then there'll be this sloppy edit of me going, da-da-da-da-da-da, some hilarious joke.
Just make sure you put the drum thing in there.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever
Sweet.
It is.
Okay. This is slowly decaying.
Honey, It was gone a while ago.
But we must leave it. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there. And now you will hear whatever song we're going to hear that I'll find out about later.
All right.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
When I was in my teenage years, I did just what I should. I listened to my mother and I was kind and sweet and good. And my friends and I did rituals and I prayed with all my might that this would be the evening that she'd stop along her flight. Well, that was several years ago, and that chick's long overdue. And it's time I came to terms with something plainly clear to you. The boob fairy never came for me. No, the boob fairy never came for me. Okay, I'm spunky, and I'm cute, and I've got a great personality. The boob fairy never came for me. Well, we were the third house on a country drive. I thought, maybe she just got lost. So I hung my bra on the mailbox till the neighbors took it off. And all my friends got visits and expanded through the years. And left me wailing to the gods, buying training bras at Sears. Still I harbor hopes she'll come for me, I know she will. I'd get 'em done myself if she'd agree to foot the bill. The boob fairy never came for me. No, the boob fairy never came for me. Look, I wasn't wanting melons, just a cute curvaceous bee. But the boob fairy never came for me. This isn't a song about boobs, not really. The boobs are just a set of metaphors to symbolize everyone's fear of human inadequacy. Hey, we've all felt the pain of being dissed by one fairy or another. So during the next refrain, I want you to join in with me with your own fairy that never paid a call. Maybe it's the height fairy or the butt nymph. Men, maybe it's the pectoral or hair fairy. Or maybe some other fairy you just want to mumble about. Look, nobody's going to ask you to enunciate. And sisters, I don't want you feeling alienated right now because you happen to be full-figured. Just change the line to the boob fairy just wouldn't let me be, or the boob fairy became obsessed with me. Okay, here comes the refrain. Everybody, join in. The boob fairy never came for me. No, the boob fairy never came for me. Though the hip fairy came two times, and the thigh fairy came three. The boob fairy never came for me.